into my life, but keeping my eyes ever upon the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see what Jesus passed to the disciples, which now they pass on to us, and now I pass on to you. And that's where the good news comes in. We are constantly sharing it and sharing it with others. And it says in verse number 23, it says, "For I have received from the Lord, which now I pass on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he what? Comes." And church, that's our hope. That's our hope. And that's where our hope is in, the blessed hope in the soon returning of the Lord. I was reminded that of so clearly yesterday during the funeral, that we don't cry here and weep here without expectation of what future holds for those that have died in the Lord. Because we know to die is to be in the presence of God. We know that. And but we also have that sure and certain hope in Jesus Christ, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet with him in the air forever. That's our hope. And let us not lose that hope. There's a lot of things out there that would try to steal that hope, take that hope away from us. But don't allow it. The enemy goes about killing, stealing, and destroying. That's his job. Don't be disappointed that if he's not doing what he's supposed to do. He will do that. And he'll find a way to creep into your life, to get into your life, to get you off track. Keep your eyes focused upon him. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about today. My title of my sermon is, Our Eyes Are Ever Upon the Lord. We got to keep our eyes on God at all times. Amen. So we're going to hand these elements out. We're going to ask you to hold them for those that are here that never have taken communion. We are going to instruct you that when you take the cup, there's two cups there. One is the juice and the other one is the bread on the bottom. So you want to take the two cups together. Hold off on Wayne, okay? I'll come and do him. Take both cups, hold on to it. You can separate it. We will then partake of that together. So let me give this to you, gentlemen and ladies, and have you hand out. Okay, Christian.
Okay. We're going to do Living Hope. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. For salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. For salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. That sealed the promise, your buried body began to
light came back in.
Out of the silence,
thank you, Jesus.
The roaring lion,
oh, hallelujah,
declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise.
Oh, the promise.
Your buried body.
Everyone who believes. Hallelujah.
Out of the
silence,
the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Oh, that's all standing, singing. Hallelujah.
Praise the one who set
us free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. For salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who said,
we praise you, O God.
Hallelujah. Death has lost its hold on me. You have broken every chain. For salvation of your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, today we hold in our hand a representation of your body and your blood that was shed for us on Calvary's tree over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, in your timeline of life, we came the understanding knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And we applied that blood to our hearts. We applied that blood to our minds. We applied that blood to our lives. And Lord, because of that, we are set free from the power of sin and death. We are set free from that spiritual death, that blindness that has blinded us so long. But now we see the light. And it's a glorious light. Oh God. Father, we just thank you as these elements we hold in our hand reminds us once again, as much as these are real, you are real. It's not that you were real, you are real. And God, we just ask you this day to seal in our hearts as we enter into 2026 the love, the grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, the power that comes through the name of Jesus. Oh God, bless these elements as we partake of them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake it together of the bread of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's partake of the fruit of the vine. That represents his blood that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus again, if we could, and then pass your element or your cups to the center aisle, and they'll collect them.
Okay.
Hallelujah. He's the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. This week is a week of prayer where just not our church, but all the Assembly of God churches around the nation get together for the next 7 nights to seek the Lord, to pray for needs. If you have any prayer needs, I think in your bulletin you did have a prayer form that you can fill out. If not, the prayer box is in the lobby. Get a paper, fill it out, put it in the box, or put it up here on the table. We will be praying for them on top of other needs, praying for our nation, praying for the world, praying for our missionaries, praying for our district. Just praying and inviting God into this new year. And hopefully on Wednesday, you started the Bible recap. Maybe you may not be able to do it all, but hopefully you are able to at least start reading the Bible in a consistently way, a chronological way. So today, if you are up to par, you would have read Job chapter 1 through 5. That's what you would have read today. And tomorrow, 6 through 11. So do your best. Just keep on. If you miss a day or two, that's all right. Just pick up. Right? Pick up where you can. Don't think, I got to go back and read everything that I missed. Just pick up where you're at. I mean, every day you wake up, you do the same thing. You just pick up where you're at. And treat this as that way. But try to, again, discipline yourself in reading God's Word and getting into God's Word. Wednesday night, again, we do a recap here at Clark and Christy's home. On Thursday night, they're going to be doing a recap that I'll be doing on Wednesday night. And Debbie and Joe on Saturday will be doing a recap at their house. So you have both the options that you can go to if you want. Take advantage of them. A good time of fellowship as well when you get together with other believers and do this, the recap on that. But today I want to speak to you on a topic that the Lord's dropped in my heart. I've been going through the Psalms with you, And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 25, which says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord. My eyes are ever on the Lord." And we're going to break down this psalm in a systematic way and receive some instruction, what God has for us today. But I know you already stood, but I'm going to ask you to stand again as we read the word of the Lord. We're going to be reading Psalm 25, verses 4 through 6, verse 15 and 21. Not going to read the whole psalm for you, just going to read the highlights of the ones that I want to touch on this morning. My eyes are ever on the Lord. Verse number 4, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. My integrity and my uprightness protects me, because my hope is in you." Father, we just want to thank you once again for your word. And we thank you for the direction that is given in your word. We pray that we will hide your word in our hearts. God, not because we don't want to sin against you, because we don't want to sin against you, but we hide your word in our heart because we know it's life. We know it's liberty. We know it's growth. And it's a constant awareness of your presence in our lives. We ask your blessing upon the hearers that are here today. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying this day, Father, at this time. And for this, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Why do we pray as Christians? Why do we pray as Christians? Some may say because we are a needy people. Others will say because we have so many needs and God is the only one who can answer those needs. And that might be true in a way. But why do we pray? We pray for only one reason, and there's only one reason why we should be praying, because we need to have a little talk with Jesus. And we need to tell him all about our troubles. That was a song that we used to sing years ago. Let's have a little talk with Jesus, who is King of Kings. Something like that, right? How does it go, right? Let's have a little talk with Jesus. I know all your troubles is in there, right? I'm just shooting off the top of my head anyway, all right? Or maybe my head. But yeah, the song does say, let's have a little talk with Jesus. Let's tell him about all of our troubles and all of our problems, because he will answer by and by, and he will be there for me and be by my side. That's why we pray, church, because we want Jesus in our life. We want him in our hearts. We want him in our situations and what we are facing in life. We talk, we preach about it. We teach about a prayer more than we literally do it. And I ask you to take a spiritual evaluation, a spiritual evaluation of your life, and maybe a spiritual evaluation as how often do you pray? Do you just pray over your meals? Do you just pray when you get up in the morning to ask God's blessing on the day? Do you pray when you go to bed at night and thanking God for everything that's taking place in your life during the course of the day? That spiritual inventory will either show you or tell you where you are at. And I think there's something that we need to do more and more as a church and more as individuals, that we need to pray more. And we need to have God involved in our life more. And the only way God can be involved in our life and involved in what's going on in our life is by praying and asking him to be a part of our life. It's something that we need to practice. It's not something that we need to preach about, talk about, and that's what I'm doing today. But yeah, we need to pray, and we need to pray more, and that's what we're going to be doing this week in prayer. So what is the purpose of us praying? What is the purpose of us getting along with God? For some of us, this may be a very beginning stage of our spiritual life. For others, it may be a further stage in our spiritual life. But it's something that we need to be reminded from time to time. We need to be reminded time to time what the purpose of prayer is and why does God work through our prayers. God works in our lives, but he works in our lives because we pray. And if we are not praying, he's not working in our lives, and we're not allowing him to work in our lives the way he wants us to. So I want to share with you four things out of this psalm, four ways to our praying. Four ways to our praying. The first one is found in verses 1 through 6, and it's onward and upward prayers. Onward and upward prayers. Listen to what verses 1 through 6 says. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Did you hear that? Anyone who has hope in him will never be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuses. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love for them. They are from the old. What's so important about onward and upward prayer? What's so important about one of the four ways that we need to be praying in an onward and an upward way? There are many different stages in a Christian life when you lift up your soul. Many stages. Many stages. Some have only started in this race. Others are near the goal or the finishing of their race. Some have only put on the armor, while others have taken off their armor and waiting for their crown. No matter where you are at in this stage of lifting up your soul to God, you will always want to have a prayer and a praying life to God. No matter where you are, if you're at the beginning or if you're at the end, you want to have a praying life to God. Your yearning should ever be toward God. Your desire should be toward him. Your prayer should be focused upon him, not upon your problems and the situations that you have at the moment, though it is a part of that, but that should not be the reason why you're praying. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what obstacles you are facing. You should always keep looking upward and onward in Christ. And that's the challenge that we have as believers in Christ. Sometimes we get tired of looking upward and onward. Sometimes we lose that hope within ourselves. Sometimes we lose that desire or that yearning. There was a song that we sing from time to time, "Nearer, my God, nearer to thee," should be the cry of my heart. Draw me nearer to you, O Lord. Why do we sing those songs? To remind us once again what we should be doing. We should be drawing nearer to God. Your soul longs for him, and because your soul longs for him, you will always look after him. But if your soul doesn't long for him, what happens? You lose that desire. You use that yearning to draw nearer to him. It was interesting that when Nathaniel's father-in-law passed away, we went to his funeral service, and the preacher was on the stage, and he was preaching, and he was saying things, and it was in my heart. I mean, it was just in my heart, the words that he was saying and the scriptures that he was quoting, and I'm sitting there quoting those scriptures along with him. And after the service, he comes to me, he goes, "Man, you really know the scripture." I said, "No, I don't know the scripture. The scripture knows me. It's in my heart. It's in my life. It's a part of me. I can't but help shout it out. It just burns in me. It's just there. It's a part of who I am. It's my DNA as a spiritual believer in Christ. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I'm a teacher. Because I'm a believer in Christ. His words mean so much in me. And they're so much a part of my life." That's that longing that I want to try to instill in you this morning, that longing that you need in your heart, that longing that will take you further than you ever want to go. When the psalmist says, "Oh my God," he's not saying a tragedy that has taken place, an accident that just took place. "Oh my God, Or you dropped a cup and you say, oh my God. Right? People say that, don't they? They say, oh my God, when disaster happens. But here in this psalmist, the psalmist is saying, oh my God. There's something about implying that he had a personal knowledge and a trust in God. A personal knowledge and a trust in God. And when I say, oh my God, it's me recognizing that it's God. It's me recognizing it is God. Mary Magdalene, when Jesus rose from the dead and he was walking in the garden, and Mary Magdalene came to him, and Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener. And he says, where have you taken the body of Jesus? And at that time, Jesus said to Mary, Mary, Mary. And Mary recognized it because she didn't recognize who he was, but she recognized his voice. And his voice, she said, Rabboni, my master. There's something about when you hear the Savior's voice, there's something that happens in your heart, something that happens in your soul, where you say, oh my God, oh my God. What a bold confession made from a lowliness of heart. I don't know if you ever felt that way before. I want to try to draw up that feeling, because that sense of weakness and the danger of yielding to fallacies and heresies is around us constantly. You can't know the truth anymore because AI is able to take something that is a lie and make it look like truth. So the only way that you're going to know truth is not by the internet and not by AI. You got to know Christ and you got to know his word. Because if you don't know that, you're not going to know the truth. Because the truth is not going to come to you because this world wants to give it to you, because I can't trust this world. If I trust this world, I'm going to be put to shame. But if I trust God, I'm never going to be put to shame. Christian friend, never constrain your soul from clinging more closely to God. Never restrain your soul from clinging more closely to God. Draw near him. Cling to him. Get close to him. Don't deny yourself of that. Find a place where you can get with him in prayer. A prayer that will be onward and upward. A prayer that will focus upon him and what he does in your life. Get rid of those things that will hinder you from getting closer to God. Get rid of those things that will befuddle you and make you trip and fall. Get rid of those things that will cause you to lose out with God. There are many that have started this race well, but they're not finishing because they got their eyes on the wrong thing. They got their eyes off of the author and finisher of their faith, and they got their eyes either on the prize or a goal or accomplishment or achievement or a thought that they can achieve whatever they want in life. I need to tell you today, you're not going to achieve anything in life if God is not in it. I'm being honest with you. Well, you know, I hear on these TV shows and these commercials, be whatever you want to be. No, be what God wants you to be. That's what it all boils down to. Yeah, you got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to put yourself into it. It's not my accomplishments that matter. What matters is what God is doing in me, and I allow him to do through me. Church, I want you to be aware of these things about being onward and upward. Cling to Jesus. Trust in him always. And he will bring all things to pass. That's what he said he would do. You got to trust in him. You got to cling to him. Trust in him always, and he will bring all things to pass. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will what? Direct your path. In 2026, that's what we want. We want God to direct our paths, don't we? There's something else that we see in this psalm, and it's this one. Number three, we need to love self-surrender. Now, hear me out. We need to love self-surrender. Self-surrender is one thing in giving up or giving in. But when you love self-surrender, that means you love the one in whom you're surrendering to. Who do you really surrender to? Do you surrender to your mate? Do you surrender to your kids? Do you surrender to your employer or your boss? Do you surrender to someone else? Who are you surrendering to? Hopefully you learn this love, self-surrender, you surrendering to Christ. Okay, Wayne, let's... Yep, you want to be quiet, okay? You get louder than John, I hear you, then you're louder. Yep, you just want to zip it. Yep, good. Here is a spirit of a learner. Here is a spirit of learner. They are humble and trustworthy, or trustful. And then the spirit of a learner also is willing to be led or taught of God. So loving self-surrender, loving surrendering to Christ and knowing that you're doing a good thing, these are the signs of what a self-surrender, what a love of self-surrender focuses on. It's they are humble and they are trustful. They're willing to be led and taught of God. Church, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Being taught of God. I mean, it's great to listen to what I have to say. And it's great that you come here to hear what I have to say. But don't take everything I say as being emphatic and being the way. I give you ideals. I give you thoughts that God has given to me. And then you take that and you apply it in your life and see if that's what God wants for you. What goes for me may not go for you. I mean, let's face it. I could never do what you do, Pastor. And I could never do what you do either. I mean, it goes both ways, doesn't it? But yeah, we have to be willing. I mean, we have to be willing to be taught. We must trust our lives in God's hand, and we need to be unreservedly given our lives to Him. If we trust in our own wisdom, we're going to go astray. If we trust in man's counsel and not God's, we are in danger of being led astray. But if we commit ourselves to God, He will guide us into truth and lead us in the way everlasting. That's what He promises in His Word. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. The other thing that we find in this psalm is that we need a quickening memory. You know, those that heard this statement before will understand what I'm saying. Those that forget the past are doomed to what? Repeat it. You know, sometimes we need quickening memories. Sometimes we need, oh yeah, that's right, I remember that. You know, we need the Spirit of God to quicken our memories that time. The mercies of the past are pledges of God's mercy for our future. If we don't keep our eyes on God and on His mercy, we're going to lose out on what He is going to give to us for the future. God may promise from the beginning, He will honor those promises. Why will He honor them? Because God's mercy flows to those whom He loves. God's mercy flows to those that are His. That's what God does. We need quickening memories at times. We need not to fret or worry about things. When something's happening in our lives, we need to say, oh yeah, God's taken care of that before. God, I have a need. I'm fretting. I don't know how I'm going to meet that need. But yet, if we remember, if the Spirit of God quickens our memory, those memories, we're going to say, oh yeah, I remember when God did that. I remember when God did that. I'm sick and I need a healing. I remember when God did that. See, church, sometimes we forget the past because we're so focused on the present. Sometimes we do have to remember the past because the past becomes a channel in which God's righteousness flows through. God first showed His mercy to sinful man thousands of years ago, when He laid down from the foundations of the world a plan to redeem mankind from sin. We don't know when that plan was put together, but we do know, based on Scripture, that from the foundations of the world, God made a plan for man to get redeemed through Jesus Christ. That was God's plan from the foundations of this world. He's already established that. That's a memory that we need to remember. That God's committed, and He's committed these things. Memories have a way to draw pain as well as pleasures. But God's mercy covers them all. Some of us, we remember the pain of the past more than we remember the pleasures of the past. Some of us remember the strains of trials and tribulations and problems that we have. And we forget about the joy that God gives to us when He delivers us and makes a provision in our lives. That's the pleasure that I'm talking about. God meeting a need in my life that couldn't be met any other way. That God bringing something to pass that couldn't be brought to pass any other way. That's the beauty of, again, looking onward and upward. The next thing we see in prayer here is a revelation prayer. It's found in verses 7 through 13. A revelation prayer. It says this, remember not the sins of my youth. I try not to remember the sins of my youth. I try not to remember my rebellious ways, but I still remember them. Do you? Here, David is saying this. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquities or sins, though they may be great. Who then is a man or woman that fears the Lord? He will instruct them in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperities, and his descendants will inherit the land. I want to share with you what a revelation prayer is out of Psalm 25. A revelation prayer that God reveals who he is and what he has done in your life. First thing we have to remember about revelational prayer is this. We all have painful memories. We all have painful memories, don't we? Those memories are there, no matter sometimes how much we try to forget them, how many times we try to hide them, how many times we run from them. Those painful memories, we all have painful memories. In one way or another, we have painful memories. If our life is brought up under the eyes of God, then our life should be pure. But our lives are not brought up under the eyes of God. Our lives are brought up the way we and what we do. It is to our shame that our lives are not brought up under the eyes of God. But there comes a time in your life when your life will be brought up under the eyes of God. And when you look back, even in frustration about your past, you will look at the present as a link to how God will always meet your need. And God will always be there for you. What we are and what we think, how we act, is because of our past. The sins of our youth are there. They're ours. I got scars to prove that. Conflicts of today come from unresolved conflicts in my day of my youth. And even in the day of my old as well. I don't escape that. None of us escape any of that. But those are those painful memories. And hopefully we learn from those painful memories. A child who touches a hot stove learns that it's hot. No matter how many times you tell them not to touch it, they touch it and they will learn. It's not that you want them to get hurt or harm or to do something, but yet it happens. It's a process of learning. Sometimes we have to experience it in order to learn it. Hopefully we're old enough and we realize, oh, we just need not touch that. We're going to get hurt. It's going to be painful. And there are sometimes are things that we face in life that brings about that painful memory. But yet, in the midst of all that, we need faith in the mercy and the power of God. We need faith in the mercy and the power of God. Church, we got to have faith that God's mercy and God's power is available to us. See, that's a revelational prayer. When you realize God is there for you, when you realize that God is working on your behalf, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's a revelation. Some people don't get it. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, don't pray for me. Prayer doesn't work. Well, they haven't come to a revelation of what prayer does. Prayer does marvelous things. Prayer tears down walls and barriers. Prayers do miracles. That's what prayer does. That's a revelation prayer. In our distress, we do turn to God. Those that don't turn to God, they're always going to be in distress. But we learn to, in our distress, to turn to God. We can hope that God doesn't forget, but we also know that God does forgive. There are some things I want God to forget that I've done. But I know that sometimes God doesn't forget the things that I've done. And there's a reason why. There's a law that's instituted here. Little do we realize what Galatians chapter 6 and the power of Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 means. And I'm going to share with you. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, church, I know that sometimes we do foolish things. I know sometimes we do things that maybe not be right. I know sometimes we do things, we sow things that we shouldn't sow. And we ask God to forgive us for sowing that. God will forgive us. But sometimes that law is already in work. You can't stop that law that's at work. You can't. When I put a seed in the ground, when the springtime comes, I can't go and harvest that seed. I could. I'm going to destroy it. But I can't go harvest that seed so it can't produce. If I leave it, it's going to produce. What I sow, that is what I'm going to reap. If I sow cucumbers, I know I'm going to get cucumbers. I'm not going to get tomatoes. I expect to see cucumber leaves. I expect to get cucumbers. I've sowed that. There's a lot of bad things that I've sown in my life that I've reaped over time. And then who knows the timetable of that reaping. Sometimes it happened right away. Other times it hasn't even happened yet. And you're saying, Pastor, why are you talking in such a shadow way? Because, church, until I leave this earth, I'll never know the consequences of the things that I've sown in my life. I'll just never know. I'll just never know. When they pop their ugly head, when they decide to flourish and grow, then I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. I mean, there were a lot of seeds that I sowed in my life of rebellion and mischief and trouble. I prayed that God forgave me of that, and God did. I prayed that those sins would not be passed on to my children, and some of those habits are not passed on to them. But yeah, as they started growing, I started seeing some of the things that I sowed in their lives. And then I try to help them and correct them and guide them. Though I love my children, don't get me wrong, but they're not perfect by no means. As well as I'm not. We all have done wrong. We all have done things. We all have sown some things in our lives. I had a heart attack. I had a clogged artery. I sowed a lot of things in my life, like eating a lot of pepperoni and cheese and all that good stuff. Sausage. But yet, the consequences of what I sowed, I reaped. Now I know I can't do that anymore as much. You can do things in moderation. It's the overabundance of things that kill us, if you know what I'm saying. See, those are the things that I'm talking about that we sow. Sometimes we don't understand the consequences of them. And when they do come, then we say, oh yeah, now that makes sense. And I know I look around the room here and I got people's attention. I know that. I can sense the wood burning. That's all right. I want you to think, because that's what the purpose of revelational prayer is. That maybe sometimes you don't know until God brings it to light. And hopefully that's what's happening here. God does forgive. Don't get me wrong. And God does forget. But we have to realize there are some things that are in set in play that we can't negate from. Though I want to believe that God can not allow that to take place. But yet, when I sow something, I'm going to reap it. I'm going to reap it. I think the classic example, and I'll move on after this, is that we look at people that are in a sinful manner or somebody who is living a sinful life, but yet they look so prosperous. And we say, why does that person, I mean, they're sinners. They're wicked people. But why do they look like they're prospering all the time? You know, the thing with God's blessings, again, things were sown, maybe when they were in a right relationship with God, and they didn't receive that blessing at that moment, but later on in life, they're reaping that blessing that they sowed way before. Though they may not be right with God at this moment of receiving that blessing, Because a right life does not guarantee that it stops God from blessing you. A right life guarantees that God will continue to bless you. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of someone who's scornful, or stand in the way of a sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he does meditate day and night. So, church, what I'm trying to say, God's blessings does not always mean God's approval. Just because somebody's being blessed at that moment and their life is not right with God, that doesn't mean that just because God's blessing them, that God is approving of their life. They could be totally wrong with God. So that's where we got to keep our eyes on Him. And we got to remember that sometimes people sow things in the past and they reap it in the present. So I hope you got what I'm trying to say there. We cast our burdens upon Him because He does care for us. Another point is God's revelation to man is always revealed in prayer. God doesn't reveal the revelation to anyone. It's only revealed to them who are with Him in prayer. I want you to get this. God's revelation to man is always revealed in prayer. If you're not praying, God can't reveal anything to you. If you're not in the right relationship with Him, He can't reveal anything to you. God's revelation must be in harmony with His character. With God, there is no contradiction. What He does show is what He is. Through prayer, you can see how God works. His word and His works always agree. Nothing is in contrary. You can stand on His promises forever. His promises are yea and amen to those that believe. That is that revelation prayer that is revealed in prayer. It's not going to be revealed any other way. Just because you heard somebody else say it, that doesn't mean that it's true. You got to go to prayer. You got to pray to God and let God open up your spiritual eyes and allow you to see what that is saying. Another thing, revelation prayer is available to those who can spiritually discern His will. If you are not spiritual, you cannot discern His will. Spiritually, you can't. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." If you are in the flesh, if you're natural, meaning this, living in the nature, fleshly nature, you cannot discern the spiritual things of God. You just can't. I know I give the altar call, I give the salvation call all the time. It's a part of who I am and what God has called me to do, as well as you as believers in Christ, is to lead people to Christ. But if they are not spiritually discerning what you're saying, they're just not going to understand it. I mean, Nicodemus was not spiritually discerning what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said a dumb question. He says, how can I re-enter my mother's womb and be born again? See, Nicodemus looked at the fact of being born again as re-entering his mother's womb. He missed what Jesus was saying. He missed it. You talk to people all the time and you share things with them. As you share things with them, they reply to you, what are you talking about? They're not spiritually discerning what you're saying. Maybe today what I'm saying, you may be sitting there saying, Pastor, I'm lost. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, maybe because you're not spiritual. You're not at the place that God wants you to be. You can only spiritually discern the will of God when you're in Him. The natural man can't do it. God wants us to teach His children His ways. Are you willing to learn His ways? Because if you are, He'll show it. I have one more, and I will end here with this part. That revelational prayer only comes through an obedient life. Revelational prayer only comes through an obedient life. I don't know how to say this more straight, poignant, forward than any time more. But if you are not living an obedient life as a Christian, you're not going to understand what God is saying to you. Am I being hard here saying that? Am I being hard? I don't know if I'm being hard. I'm just trying to be truthful to you. That's all I'm trying to be. An obedient life. I'm not saying obedient to the mother, the father, the brother, the sister. I'm not saying obedient life to the laws of the land. I'm saying obedient life to what God wants from you. That's what I'm talking about. An obedient life. God opens his mind to those who love him. John chapter 16 says these words, "If you love me, you will do whatsoever I command of you." See, church, obedience is not just blindly obeying and doing wrong. That's where cults come in. But obedient life is saying to God, "God, I'm willing to surrender to you. I'm willing to turn my life over to you. God, I'm willing to obey you in this." I mean, Abraham was a prime example, which today we know that God would never ask anybody to do what Abraham did over 4,000 years ago when God says, "Take your son, Isaac, get some wood and fire, climb up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to tie your son up, and I want you to take a knife and offer him to me as a sacrifice." God's not going to tell anybody to do that today, because it goes against what Jesus Christ already did. The typology of what Abraham was doing on that day was to represent what God was going to do 3,000 years later, and when Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life for our sake. That was all a typology of what God was going to do as a foreshadow in the future. And the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham from killing his son. And at that same time, God provided an offering that was caught in the thicket for Abraham to offering as a representation of the Lamb of God, the ram, the Lamb of God that was offered on that altar. Today, in Jerusalem, the holy place now is occupied by another religion. But it's at that holy place today, the conflict of the Middle East continues on until Jesus returns. It's on that rock where Abraham offered his son Isaac, is the same place where the temple was built upon there in Solomon, and where the Ark of the Covenant was placed in the most holy place. It was on Mount Moriah where the new or Jerusalem was built, and the holy place and the Ark of the Covenant was placed on that rock, where it became a typology of what Abraham was willing to offer with Isaac. And it became the representation of God's Jesus Christ when he died upon Golgotha, upon the cross, where his blood was applied to that altar, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of this world. It's a conflict. It's a place of conflict. What am I saying? I'm saying this as the worship team comes up, that the place of sacrifice is always a place of conflict. Are you hearing me? The place of sacrifice is always the place of conflict. I do not have that for you in words, but I'm telling you. God's word illuminates his path for mankind. While freedom is a choice, but it's got to be a choice of an individual, and it can't be a forced choice of a person. The place of sacrifice is always the place of conflict. What are your conflicts today? What are your conflicts today? Is a conflict what you're going to eat after church for dinner? That's not a conflict. Is your conflict where maybe what job you're going to take? What you're going to do in life? What God has for you? Maybe the conflict is God is asking you to give up something that you're just not willing to give up right now. God, it brings too much pleasure. God, it brings a little fun in my life. But if you really listen to what God is saying, and if you're willing to listen to and be obedient to God's life for you, maybe what God is saying, I know something you don't know. I know something that you don't know. Remember, if God asks for it, there's a reason why he asks for it. He doesn't just to see if you are committed to listening to him. He knows that it's going to harm you or maybe do you wrong. Let me share with you a story. Every morning, eagles, we have them here on our property. They're here. They're up and down this valley now. I don't know if you see them, eagles flying always up and down the valley. They're here. But every morning, I always wonder why eagles sit on the tree on our property for about 1 hour. They just sit there. They're doing something. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something. So I Googled it. So I got to hope that Google is right here. But Google told me that eagles take approximately 1 hour to do what is known as preening. Am I saying it right? Preening. There you go. Preening. For 1 hour, the eagle sits high on a rock or a ledge or a tree. They pull every feather on both of the wings through their mouth. There is 1,200 feathers on each wing. So that's 2,400 feathers on each on they have. This process is like steam cleaning. Why is it called preening? It's to clean and restore the feathers from yesterday's activities. And the second thing is to secrete an oil from its mouth that glazes over the feathers, so that the feathers won't get water soaked in the rain, mist, dew, fog, or snow, or the eagle would get weighed down and fall to the ground. God reminded me something here. What an awesome lesson for the believers today. That if you're not taking time in the morning to do some preening or praying, you're not cleaning yesterday's activities from your life. You are not allowing the Holy Spirit and the oils of the Holy Spirit to flow in every facet of your life. So as you go throughout the day, you won't get soaked by the things that are there that will try to soak you and weigh you down, that will try to trip you up and try to make you fail. Because that's what the enemy does. That's what he does. It's his job to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care about you. All he cares about is fulfilling what he has said in his mind or in his heart or whatever you want to call it. To kill, steal, and destroy. So where are you at? What conflicts are you facing today? What do you need for God to glaze over, to cleanse and glaze over his oil of ointment in your life? What do you need? If an eagle will take an hour and touch every feather on his body, 2,400 feathers, touch every one of them and get them ready for the day, could you not pray with me 1 hour, Jesus said to his disciples? Could you not just pray 5 minutes? See, church, prayer is not giving God your wish list. Prayer is saying, God, what do you have for me today? What is in my life that will hinder you from having your way? Those are the tough questions that we should be asking in prayer. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, Christians is going to play softly a song. I'm going to ask my board if they would come up. And we want to pray for those that are sick, those that need healing in their body. We want to pray for those that are struggling in their life. Maybe there's something that you have a conflict in and with, and you need God to do something special on your behalf. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You might know the scripture verse. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as what? Eagles. See, church? You got to be prepared. You got to be ready. That's all I'm saying to you today. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You got to allow God to do something in your life. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you have a conflict in your soul, and you say, Pastor, I need prayer. I need prayer. I don't want you to do it alone. We're standing up here. We want to pray with you to help you through your confidence. Maybe you say, Pastor, it's too personal. I'm ashamed of it. I've been there. I've been ashamed of some of the things that I've done in life. But if you need prayer, just come up and say to them, I have an unspoken prayer need. Will you just pray for me? God knows your heart. God knows your heart. God knows your intent. God does respect us and respect our privacy. But sometimes you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. That's what we want to do today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you never asked Him into your heart to forgive you of all your sins and to make your life right with Him. Any one of us that are standing up here, we can pray that prayer with you. But you're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to make that choice. So as we sing this song, I'm not going to ask for any raise of hands. But what I'm going to do is ask you to raise out of your seat and come to somebody that's up here and let us pray with you. Let us pray with you. The scripture says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is amidst of them. We want to do that. We want to do that for you this day, for this coming year. Let your eyes ever be upon the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.